Good evening, brothers and sisters. It is a Sunday evening, September 6, 2020. We're still in the midst of the COVID restrictions, and we're still recording Sunday evening lessons from the quiet of my own office. Thank you for joining me this evening. My grandmother and my grandfather on my father's side of the family had 13 children. The first, my Aunt Ruth, was born in 1899. The last of the 13th, my father, was born in 1922. Before they had any sons, J.A. and Georgia Copeland had four daughters. Then on May 26, 1907, Swinney Roy was born. Swinney was born on a Sunday, and it just happened that Papa Copeland that Sunday had planned to preach on the subject, the only begotten son, from John 3:16. And to that point, his only son was born on that day. He would have four more sons after that. But even though it was a coincidence, it became a standing joke through the years of the family that he preached that sermon on the day that Uncle Swinney was born. Well, my sermon tonight is not a coincidence. It is intentional. My topic is adopted as sons, because this week our daughter and our son-in-law, Leanne and J.T. Fannin, adopted a baby boy. It's been a whirlwind of events, although they have been trying to adopt for some time to add to their family of three boys, which they already have. Things sometimes happen quickly and unexpectedly, and that's what happened. The adoption agency called, said they had a baby boy in Orlando that had been born on Thursday, and asked the question, "Do you want him?" Of course, they did. The wheels got in motion, the papers were signed, and Daniel Zadok Fannin, 5 pounds, 3 ounces, 18 and a half inches long, came home last night to meet his three older brothers, Isaac, Elliot, and Caleb, adopted into the family of J.T. and Leanne Fannin. As you can imagine, we're all pretty excited. We're anxious to see little Daniel and hold him for the first time, and Becky and I hope to do that tomorrow. But this evening, I want to talk a little bit about adoption and make some comparisons between the adopting of a baby today, a physical adoption into a physical family, and our adoption into the family of God. You know, the Bible talks about adoption in five different New Testament passages. One of those has reference to Israel's adoption of God in the Old Testament. One has reference to our future adoption and redemption of our bodies in the book of Romans. And three of those have reference to the adoption into the spiritual family of God. Let's begin with the passage in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and I want to read verses 3 through 7. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon him in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." In our lesson this evening, let's make some comparisons between the physical adoption of a child today and our spiritual adoption into the family of God. We begin by just making the observation that adoption, of course, is a wonderful concept. It's all about love. Adoption is giving a home to a child that was not naturally or biologically born to the couple, but opening their home and receiving the child, the little boy or the little girl, and treating them, receiving them, accepting them as one of their own, even though they formerly were not their own, even though they were not naturally born to them. What a blessing to a child like Daniel. Daniel is only 3 days old. He will not realize for a number of years the great blessing that he has received. When Leanne and JT were determined to adopt, they told the adoption agency that they had very few limitations. Boy or girl, they didn't care. The race of the child, they didn't care. They just wanted to give a home to a child that did not have a home. They wanted to give a loving family to a child that did not have a loving family. They wanted to give parents to a child who did not have parents. Well, through our adoption, our Father has given us a home. He has adopted us, and He adopts anyone and everyone who will come to Him, male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, it matters not. The children's song says, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Our Father in heaven wants to give us a home. He wants to love us and to cherish us and to care for us. It matters not where we came from. It matters not how sinful we have been. It matters not how long we have been lost and wandered around aimlessly in our lives. It matters not how far we have wandered from God. He will sign the papers. He will bring us in. He will do His part if we will only do our part. Turn from our sins and seek to be His obedient child. The second point I would make is that adoption takes planning. Until Leanne and JT decided to adopt, I had no idea how much planning went into adopting a baby in modern times. In the old days, a baby might become available. A few phone calls were made, permission was given, maybe a verbal agreement, maybe a handshake. Those days are gone. People go through a long process today. They jump through a lot of hoops. They register with an adoption agency. There are home studies and documentation. There are references given. There are background checks. Because of the expense we'll talk more about in a moment, there is fundraising. To say the least, the process sometimes is a long and arduous process. It can be time-consuming. In like manner, our spiritual adoption into the family of God was a matter of great detail and planning. From the beginning of time, God had a plan. Sometimes people out there don't think about the fact that God, from eternity, had a plan. And He worked out that plan. He, in detail, through His providence, worked out the plan to bring His Son Jesus into the world. We read a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God had a plan from the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. I'm not going into Calvinism tonight, but that passage does not teach that we were individually chosen, but it means that God had a plan. And in His plan, He would send Jesus. And in His plan, those who came to believe in Jesus and would believe in Jesus and obey Jesus could have the forgiveness of their sins and be chosen of Him. As someone has said, He chooses those who choose Him. In verse 5 of that first chapter of Ephesians, Paul says that we have been foreordained, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, talks about how that Christ, as the Lamb of God, shed His blood and was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, from the very beginning of time, from eternity, God had a plan for our redemption, and God worked out that plan. We see the working out of that plan in the Old Testament. God's promises to Abraham, promising the great threefold promise to Abraham to make of his seed a great nation, and to give his seed the land of Canaan. And then the spiritual promise, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then that promise repeated to his son Isaac and his son Jacob, repeated to the nation all through the years, getting them to look forward to and keeping their eye on the fact that God was going to bless the world through that Jewish nation. They often misunderstood that, and clearly the Pharisees of the New Testament misunderstood that and thought that there was something inherently righteous in the nation of Israel. No, they were just simply a part of God's plan to bring Jesus into the world. And all through the Old Testament, God was working out that plan through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph going into Egypt, Moses coming and leading the nation out of Egypt after they had grown into a great people, the 40 years of the wilderness wandering, the promised land, the judges, the United Kingdom, the great King David, the promises made to David that God would set one upon his throne and that he would sit upon that throne forever to be fulfilled in Jesus, the seed of David. There was the disobedience, there was the captivity, there was the restoration period, there was the period of 400 years, we sometimes say, of Bible silence between the New Testament and the Old Testament. But then as Paul says in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:5. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son that we might be adopted as sons. What great planning. Everything worked out perfectly. The fullness of times came. God sent his Son to be our Redeemer. And now we can be adopted as his children. The third point I'd make is that adoption is expensive. Again, until I saw what Leanne and JT went through, I had no idea how much it costs for modern-day adoptions. I can't tell any family secrets here. Actually, I don't know the family secrets. I know it's expensive in general terms. I don't know what they spent, so I couldn't tell you if I did. But I know it's expensive. I know in general terms, Becky and I have talked about, from what we've talked to other couples, several couples, it can be anywhere from $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to adopt a child today. There's the adoption agencies. There's the lawyer fees. There's the paperwork. There's the travel expenses. Oftentimes, usually, the birth mother gets help with living expenses and prenatal care. There's paying for the birth of the baby, the hospitalization. The list goes on and on and on. Thankfully, oftentimes, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, Leanne and JT, received a great deal of help from friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. They did fundraisers. They spent time having garage sales. Some of the young ladies, their friends, spent hours and hours and hours organizing a huge garage sale for them, selling T-shirts, helping them with different ways of raising money. But you know what? Our adoption was even more expensive than that. God gave the most precious thing we could ever consider. God gave the life of his Son. As we said way back in May 1907, my grandfather preached on John 3:16. God gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That message hasn't changed in the last 113 years. The gospel doesn't change. The needs of the sinner doesn't change. God's message is the same as it's always been, and God's message is perfect, whether it's been 100 years or 2,000 years. Since that day on Pentecost, when the first gospel sermon was preached, and Peter and the rest of the apostles preached about Jesus, God's Son, and how that God had raised him from the dead and given him as the Savior of the world, the needs of mankind are still the same. That's why God gave him. We're still sinners in need of a Savior. We're still lost in need of one who can rescue us. God paid the ultimate price. God paid that high price of the blood, the death of his Son. When we talk about the blood of Jesus, of course, we're talking about the death of Jesus. The blood was poured out in his death. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 that we've already referenced earlier, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things. We've not been redeemed with corruptible things. Children today go through an adoption, and the parents pay corruptible things to make the adoption happen. But we've been redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from the vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, you were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. We're bought with a price. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, he had spent time in Ephesus on his journeys, and he didn't have time to go to Ephesus, and so he, from Miletus, called for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come to him in that beautiful, touching speech he gives to them. But he tells them in verse 28 to take heed to themselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made them bishops or overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased the church. What's the church? That's us. The church is simply the assembly. That's what that word means, but it's talking about those in the assembly. It's talking about Christians that make up that assembly. We are the church. God's people are the church. The souls, the saved, are the church. Jesus purchased the church with his blood. That precious blood. That sinless blood. Without spot and without blemish. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Well, our last major point is that the adopted child has all the rights of the naturally born children. In a physical family, the adopted child has all the rights, all the blessings, all the privileges, all the inheritance of the rest of the children. Under the laws of the state of Florida, if an individual dies without leaving a will, the law states that all children will be treated equally, whether naturally born or adopted children. There is no difference. If the will is generic and gives a general statement like inheritance is to be divided equally to all children refers to all children, naturally born or adopted. The law sees no difference. If you want to treat one child differently from another, you need to prescribe that specifically in your will. Otherwise, they will all be treated the same. Now, there's a lesson here, I think, about the Jews and the Gentiles all being included in one spiritual body. We are all the same. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the Jew and the Gentile being brought together. That was God's plan from the beginning of time. Now, we see that. That becomes loud and clear, repeated over and over again in the New Testament. And so Jesus, he says there in Ephesians 2, Jesus is our peace, who broke down the middle wall of partition, verse 14. He came, verse 17, he came and preached peace to those who were near and those who were far off. He's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. Yes, God came to the Jew first. As we said, God had a plan. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the family of the nation of Israel, God would bring the Messiah into the world. And God used Israel in a special way. He chose them in a special way. But it was never his intent for his salvation to be only for Israel. They were simply a tool in his toolbox. They were just simply a tool in his plan to bring his son into the world, and through his son to bring redemption to everyone. And with the coming of Jesus, Jew and Gentile would be united together. And that's the point here in Ephesians 2. We're no longer strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, he says in these verses. We're fellow citizens. We're saints together, he says, of the household of God. That's the family. And so he uses the illustration, several illustrations here, but one of them is the family. We're united together. We're one big happy family. Whether those who were first brought in, the Jews, or those who were added later, the Gentiles. We might say whether the naturally born children or whether those who were grafted in, Romans 11. And so Jews and Gentiles, bond and free, male and female, all united together in one body. In chapter 3, following up with that discussion of chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about the mystery, and he talks about the fact, verse 6, to wit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. What's an heir? One who inherits. Who inherits? A child. The child of the individual who passes. They're fellow heirs. They have an inheritance. They're just as much children as the Jews were. The Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. Fellow partakers of the promises through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. We mentioned just a moment ago Romans chapter 11. And Paul's illustration of the two olive trees, the natural and the wild. And that the Jews represent the natural. God had made the promises to Abraham. He had selected Israel. But it was his big promise, it was his big plan, as we said earlier, that all nations would come under his son. And so he talks here about the two olive trees, the natural and the wild, and how that branches would be broken off the natural because they were disobedient and unbelieving. But those from the wild olive would be grafted in. And then one big happy bush, they would all be united together. One big happy spiritual family, whether natural branches or wild olive branches, all one in Christ Jesus. All have the same rights and blessings and eternal promises. All people today, as we said earlier, whether Jew or Greek or bond or free or male or female, all can be one in Christ Jesus. Well, you may think of other points of comparison, but we'll quit there for this evening. You know, there's two different illustrations for entrance into the family of God. There's the being born into the family of God, and there's the adoption into the family of God. The natural birth and the adopted illustration. In John chapter 3, of course, with Nicodemus, Jesus talked about the fact you must be born again, born anew. And Nicodemus didn't understand at first, must I be born into our saying? Must I be born of my mother again? Must I enter my mother's womb and be born again? And, of course, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about a spiritual birth, comparing the spiritual birth. And so these two illustrations are not contradictory. They're just different illustrations. And I suppose if we wanted to mix the metaphors for a moment, we could just simply say that the birth of the water and the Spirit and the birth and the adoption are all take place at the same time. We've been adopted. and we think about this and conclude with the adoption idea. We've been adopted into the family of God. We're not deserving of sonship. We're sinners. We're outside the family. We have done nothing of ourselves to deserve the love and the mercy of God. Daniel did nothing to deserve the love and the mercy of JT and Leanne. But because of who they are and because of their hearts, they chose to give love and comfort and nourishment to a child that was in need. And because of who God is, because of His love, He chose to adopt us into His family. In our case, because we're free moral agents, that's where the illustration breaks down. Because we're free moral agents and thinking people, we can do something about this adoption procedure. We must do something. We must have our part in it. We can and must do our part by choosing Him. As we said earlier, He chooses those who choose Him. He has chosen us. He has made life possible. But now it's our obligation as free moral people to choose our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've chosen, if you're listening to this tonight, I hope that it's reminded you of some things and caused you to realize what a blessing we have as being adopted into the family of God. What a wonderful inheritance we have waiting. We have wonderful blessings now. The forgiveness of our sins and the privilege of prayer and the unity and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. But the greatest gift is still to come, that eternal life that awaits, when we'll see our Father and His Son face to face. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. Have a good week. See you this coming Lord's Day. Bye-bye for now.